Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Actually,
here's John Williams.
Here's what's going to happen. I was talking to Lou Manfredini. He's your Mr. Fix-It today. And I said, you know, I'm only on for an hour today. I think I only have to think medium ones. Or maybe just one big thought. Maybe 0.75. Who knows? It's a short show. It's 108, for goodness sakes. We got 52 more minutes, and then we go to Arizona, where we'll listen to White Sox baseball here on WGN Radio. It'll be the first time in years and years and years the Sox have been on this radio station. They were once upon a time, and Jack Brickhouse was one of the announcers doing Sox baseball here on 720 WGN. Kevin Powell is out there. It's funny because Kevin went out there to cover the White Sox before the White Sox were announced as the station's team. And then when that deal got finalized, they said, you know, maybe you should just stay out there. So Kevin's been out there for a couple of weeks, and he's going to be out there for a couple more. And I talked to him with some envy in my voice, and I said, well, it doesn't suck to be you now, does it? And he said, I'm loving this. This is so good. I don't know what the temperature is there. It's probably 80 degrees. I'll bet the sun is shining. And he's going to help us understand a little bit about this team, this season, and even this game today in about a half hour. Hey, listen, last night, John and David's Excellent Adventure, that David Hochberg guy that does the commercials on this radio station and appears as a guest sometimes talking about money, David Hochberg had a suite at the Bulls game, and he and I gave it to a bunch of our listeners. We randomly selected them, and it was the first of the John and David's Excellent Adventures. And I was thinking, you guys tell me what you think of this. So we're thinking, like, what are some fun things we could do with our listeners? Just kind of spontaneous pop-up. Hey, we're all going to go do this. And it dawned on me last night, another one. We go ballroom dancing for an hour. We go ballroom dancing. Hey, I'm John. Come with me. Maybe, I don't know if Brenda's going to come. I'm not sure.
David's going to get mad if you dance with your wife.
Well, who am I supposed to dance with? Why would
with David?
David. Oh, no.
It's your adventures together.
Yeah, I think you're missing the gist of those things.
Oh.
So John,
okay, if that happens, I'm in.
No, it would be John and David's Excellent Adventure. Come on, and well, then there'll be professionals, men and women that will teach us all to dance. Maybe we'll have some wine and crackers, and well, it'll be fun. We'll kibitz, and we'll dance, and we'll that kind of thing.
That sounds nice.
Okay, there's one. Steve Bertrand, are you in John and David's Excellent Adventure Part 2? We go dancing. Get back to me on that.
Okay.
I know you're real busy in the newsroom right now.
Do I have to bring my own partner?
Okay, I have my answer.
No, I don't think you have to bring your own partner, but you could. And we could salsa. Everybody wants to salsa these days. Or we could, do the foxtrot or whatever. And since I now am the master of a 2-minute routine of quick step, my coach and I, Danny and I, we would do the dance. So come and see John's fancy dance. Okay, I heard that. And then,
oh, my mic's on.
And then you can dance too. I think that would be a winner.
Sounds fun.
I could be wrong, but I think that would be a winner. Hey, if you got other ideas of fun things we could all do together.
What about a painting class?
I think that would be fun also. Are those still the rage? You get some wine and you go to a place.
I have hung up.
Stuff.
Yeah, I have two pictures in my room of like a farm setting that like match nothing, but they're mine and
they're yours.
They look nice.
I think that would be kind of fun. Maybe we could get, somebody to pose, be a model for us or something like that.
I like scenery, but that's just me.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, so some of the folks that were there last night included, I think, Art's on line 7. Hey, Art, this is John. You're on WGN. Did you have a good time last night?
Oh, John, it was incredible. I can't thank you and WGN and David Hochberg enough. It made for such a fun night. As you know, it ended up being my wife's birthday today, so last night was a great gift to give her something I wouldn't even thought about doing for her. So we had a really fun time with you guys.
Art and Joy have a couple of basketball daughters who are pretty jealous that mom and dad are off to the game. And it was just a pleasure to meet you and Joy, lovely people. Your wife was cheering as much as anybody in our booth. She really got into it.
Yeah, she loved it. She hasn't been to a Bulls game since probably her high school days.
And there we were in the suite. We had some sodas. We had some beers. We had some popcorn. We had a good time.
It was a great time, and we really appreciated it. You and Dave made it so hospitable for us. It was something we hoped that we could win again and do it again with you.
Would you come do that dancing thing with me?
Sure would.
I'm going to ask that again, and in this scene, you're going to give a more enthusiastic response. So what do you think about that dancing thing? Would you come with us on that?
Oh, I would love to go do that with you, John.
That's what I'm talking about. Much better, Art. Say hi to Joy for me and my best to your girls, okay?
I sure will. Thanks again for everything.
He's in Lockport. By the way, our winners were from Wisconsin, Indiana, and Illinois. We were all over the map.
That's awesome.
It really was. Hey, Chuck, are you there? How are you?
Yes. Hi, John.
Chuck had a good time last night, too, didn't you, sir?
Yes, I had a great time. Thank you so much. It was so fun.
Yeah. Now, you been up in a suite like that watching the game before?
No, never. My first time.
What do you think, Chuck? We do a painting thing or a dancing thing next?
Hey, that sounds fun.
Now, that's what I'm talking about.
Painting and dancing.
Maybe we could combine them, Violetta. We'll do
that. That sounds like a really long night. I think let's pick one.
I'll go out there and dance, and you guys can paint me.
And I'll paint you dancing.
Hey, there you go.
It was a pleasure to meet you guys. It was a fun night. And Chuck, I just wanted to give you a shout out and say thanks for making the effort and being there for us, my friend.
Oh, you're welcome. It was my pleasure. And thank you and David for the hospitality. And my sister had a great time, too. So thank you so much.
Hey, wait a minute. Your sister runs a bar in Valparaiso. It's called the Ice House Palace or something. What's it called?
It's the Ice House Lounge.
The Ice House Lounge in Valparaiso. It's on, as I recall, Meridian and 6th. And they have karaoke there. And I hear that when you're near Valpo, that's the place to go, isn't it?
Yes, sure is.
All right, Chuck. Hey, thanks for listening, buddy. Stay well, and thanks for being part of the show.
You too, John. Thank you.
It's 114.
I thought of another one.
Okay.
Bowling.
That was David's idea.
He said, bowling. No one wants to go bowling with me.
Maybe that's more about you than bowling. I don't know.
No, it's the bowling.
I know I'm no good at bowling, and I, as a result, don't like bowling.
It's fun, though. You get some pizza, get a pitcher of beer.
Sue, what else should we give a shot to? Sue, you're on the air.
Hi. I was going to suggest that my husband and I just started it. Country line dancing, because you don't have to have a partner.
Oh, that's true. And you don't have to be super. It's not like one of these hard to. Some of these dances I'm trying to learn are complicated. Country line is not that difficult to learn, is it?
No, and it's lots of fun. It's good exercise, and my husband's going out of town this week, but I can go with my friends there by myself because I don't have to have a partner.
And we know Hochberg already has the chaps.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a fun evening, so if you do it, I'll be in for it.
Thank you, Sue. Have a good night. We'll keep you posted.
Okay, thanks.
How about ice fishing?
Let's talk to Don. Speaking of ice, you're on WGN. Hey, Don.
Hello, Your Highness.
Give me a good idea.
I think we should go curling.
I totally would do that.
There's a club out in Triumph, Illinois, and there's a couple around Chicago, but the one in Triumph has their own ice.
Well, what are the ones? What do you mean their own ice? You got to have ice to go curling, don't you?
Yeah, but a lot of clubs use ice rinks, like hockey rinks and stuff, and mark them off for curling.
But this
the
place,
club out in Triumph has their own ice.
It's a curling club.
By Mendota.
Do they have out by Mendota? And do they have cocktails?
I'm not sure. Although the pictures make it look like they either have them or they bring their own.
Come on, it's
I've
curling
not been out there. But my wife and I have been looking at it.
What are you thinking, Steve?
Well, you'd have to have cocktails.
And if we don't have it, we'll put some in my purse. It'll be fine.
Right. Trust me, there will be cocktails.
No doubt. I mean, you know.
Don, buddy, I got it written down. I'll bet you and I are going to see each other at this. Thank you for your time.
You still owe me a basketball game, John.
I'm hanging up on you now, Don.
Bye, John. Bye.
We'll talk baseball at 1:35. Kevin Powell from WGN Radio. He used to work here. I don't know if he works here anymore. He's in Arizona, and I don't know if he's coming back, but he's out there watching the White Sox get ready for the season. Our first broadcast of White Sox baseball is coming up in 43 minutes. Stay tuned. He'll give us sort of a preview of the preview of the preview in about 20. The Chicago Teachers Union's Jesse Sharkey says hi. We'll talk a little bit about the wisdom of, and, you know, listen, I was kind of surprised. I saw on TV this morning a survey, and it was percentage of Americans that think guns in schools is a good idea, and they were about even. More Americans don't want them, but it was 50-something to 40-something. And I'm surprised, shocked, horrified to think that as
what
many
was the question? Was the question about teachers specifically, or?
I don't know, Steve. I'm guessing it was teachers. Why? How do you?
Well, because if you asked it about, I mean, I'm all for police officers having guns in schools.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. No, I think this was about arming teachers. You know what? I'm going to have Elif look that up. Hey, Elif, look up and see what percentage of Americans want teachers with guns. The president imagines a world where the teachers are ex-Marines and they're trained and they're ready to go and they're fearless. And when bad guys break in, these fearless Marines who are teaching third graders are conveniently nearby and they shoot the bad guy. They blow him to pieces, I believe is how the president put it. And I don't think that that's the world that the rest of us live in. We'll talk to the teachers union about that in just a couple of minutes. It's 1:18. This is WGN. This is WGN. Steve, the president spoke at CPAC, and you referred to his description of what would have happened if the teachers were armed.
Well, yeah, he was back at CPAC today, and he renewed his call for arming teachers. And here's what he had to say about that.
So this crazy man who walked in wouldn't even know who it is that has it. That's good. It's not bad. That's good. And a teacher would have shot the hell out of him before he knew what happened.
Of course, that's the sort of crowd that actually before that chanted, lock her up, lock her up. And there was a long round of applause and the president sat there and stoked the coals. So it's I don't know who those people are. I actually Googled Illinois attendees CPAC. I don't know who those people are that would cheer on some of those things I've been hearing on TV this week, but they are there. On a phone line, by the way, did you find that, Elif? Can you help us out with this? What percentage of Americans, I believe this is a survey I saw this morning, are for arming the teachers in schools?
According to a CBS News poll, 44%, John.
44. 44. I don't know if you know this, but that means 56 then. I presume it was an either-or poll. Maybe there's some undecideds. 56% are against it, 44 are for it. Jesse Sharkey joins us now from the Chicago Teachers Union. Jesse is the vice president of the CTU. Jesse, it's John Williams. You're on WGN. How are you?
John, thanks for having me on. I'm good. To me, the question is what percentage of teachers want armed teachers at school?
We actually were going to open up the phone today just to teachers to call in about this, and then it dawned on us that the teachers are all in school. That's why we reached out to you. What's this? Does the CTU have a position on this per se?
We do. It's out of touch. It's tone deaf as a proposal. First of all, there was a deputy who was armed at the school in Florida, and if an armed trained deputy with a gun doesn't stop a shooting, how is a teacher we didn't sign up to be soldiers or policemen, we signed up to teach, but it doesn't get at what teaching actually looks like. And it's not like we're standing on a stage giving speeches. We're moving around in classrooms, amidst kids. And, I've got a holster and a gun, or, I'm teaching in shirt sleeves. I don't have a place to conceal a firearm. And you've got 3 million teachers in this country. And even if you arm 10% of them, you're going to be sending 300,000 guns a day into school. It's a dead on arrival proposal. It's dumb. And it doesn't match up with what our members think.
Your gun would be locked. You wouldn't be carrying it around. And if an alert went out that there was an active shooter on the campus, you'd be able to get a chance to get it. And if, say, there's 50 teachers at the school, 5 of them, maybe 10 of them are now armed and getting their weapons, and they're able to shoot back at this person. Maybe some of these teachers are ex-servicemen or women or cops. That's the scenario the president imagines, and I think some people like that scene. What's wrong with it?
It's that you, I mean, like I said, you know, if you've got 50 teachers and you're going to get five of them guns, and you multiply that by the country, it's 300,000 guns going to school, locked up in cabinets. I don't know if, you know, when the last time you worked in a room with 30 kids, but kids go into everything. They test every door. You know, it's only a matter of time before a kid winds up with one of those guns, and that's not safer. That's more dangerous.
Do you know what percentage? Finish that thought. I have a new question for you. Go ahead.
Sure. I mean, I also think that it's important to say that it's not like gun violence is some new issue in the Chicago public schools. For example, last year at Henderson Elementary, there was that Canary Gentry Bowers who was shot in the head. Harper High School a few years ago, I think they had 21 shot and 8 killed, something like that. And it's just that there's a tremendous amount of trauma going on amongst our students. And what we really need are social workers and counselors and people to help deal with that. That would do a lot to kind of tamp down the violence. I'm afraid that armed teachers is the last kind of message that we want to be sending to our students.
Do you know what percentage of the teachers are this description the president has in mind for the teacher body, that is, that they're ex-servicemen and women trained and adept at guns?
Anecdotally, I would tell you that in Chicago, at least, there is a lot of antipathy for this kind of idea, and people generally have a kind of a fear of guns, and I think that's a reflection of the amount of gun violence in the city. I could imagine in a different part of the country where, having a collection of guns at home and where hunting is sort of more part of the
but in any given school,
culture, it might be different.
Sure, pardon me, Jesse, but I mean, in any given school, in the Chicago public school system, I've been to several of them, and mostly I see women. I don't know how many of them are former military members or police. I'm wondering if in any given school, how many of them are trained ex-members of the service that the president is imagining?
Very few. And that's my point. I mean, you've got I guess it's gendered, right? I mean, 85% of the teaching force in Chicago is women. And as a group, that's going to be less likely to be trained with firearms or have a police or military background, just given the way that goes in our society. But also, I mean, I do want to underline that amongst our membership, it's anecdotal, I don't have a formal survey, but I've had a lot of conversations about it. There's just a lot of hostility towards the idea of bringing guns into school at all. I mean, I do want to remind you that in Chicago public schools, at least, it's fairly common for there to be armed guards at the school and for there to be metal detectors and for the school to essentially be locked to outsiders. So, it doesn't seem like, from my point of view, President Trump is barking up the right tree at all.
I understand that. Well, have you all surveyed your teachers? Because as much as we want the schools to be safe for the kids, we want it to be safe for the adults. I mean, they've got more skin in this game than I do. I'm sitting in a nice studio downtown. I wonder what the teachers themselves want. Do they think this would make them safer? And have you surveyed them about that?
It'd be an interesting formal survey, but like I said, I tell you, this is something that we've talked about, at various times in the past, and the broad majority sentiment among teachers in Chicago is that, school is a no place for guns, and that the idea of, locking guns up in cabinets in various places around the school, it might sound good, but, what's the first time it happens when someone leaves their keys on their desk, and then their keys disappear, and those keys contain the keys to a gun cabinet. It's just the number of ways in which it doesn't fit the circumstances of school start to multiply. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
I'm way far ahead of myself here, Jesse, but is there any, do you have any understanding of who would pay for these guns? I mean, would these be school district purchased guns?
Who knows? I hear you on this, and what I partly think is that this is our society being in mourning and a little bit frustrated and a little bit desperate to come up with something about gun violence, but we're barking up the wrong tree, and when you start thinking about proposals for the districts to buy guns, I mean, now are the districts going to buy firearms training and
training,
how are you,
certification?
Well, and the legal liability issues.
Okay, but hold on, Jesse. I get that, but why are you asking, Steve?
Well, because for one, obviously, it'd be a weird way for school districts to spend their money, and the other is if the armed teachers were all going to have new government-issued guns, that's a lot of gun sales in this country.
Well, there you go.
Well, there you go. If 10% of 3 million teachers, that's 300,000 gun sales.
So maybe that explains some support for it.
I guess. Boy, that's a kind of cynical but creative view, Steve. I hadn't thought about it in those terms.
Well, you're welcome.
All right. I'm out of time. Jesse, anything else you'd like to say? Jesse Sharkey is vice president of the Chicago Teachers Union.
Yeah, you know, arm us with some social workers and counselors. That will be helpful.
Arm the social workers and counselors.
No, arm us with some social workers. Arm us with some counselors. That's what we don't have. I can actually use someone to help me with trauma. I don't really need a gun in school.
We'll visit again. Thanks, Jesse. You have a good weekend.
Thanks a lot, John.
Jesse Sharkey is with the CTU. Kevin Powell is in Arizona getting ready for the game from WGN Radio Sports. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
I'm great. The smell of popcorn and hot dogs are wafting through the air here at Camelback Ranch, and I'm so pumped baseball is back. So I'm doing great, John.
Do you still work here? I haven't seen you in a long time.
Yes. Yeah, but it's the technology, the miracle of technology. I've been on pretty much every day with the radio equipment I've got out here. So I will be back, though, Sunday. I'll see you Monday afternoon, John.
Yeah, I know. I've heard you on the radio a little bit here and there. But, I mean, really, people who don't work here are here as much as you are, and people who don't work here get to go to Arizona and just like watch baseball games. Do you think you're still on the payroll? Have you got a paycheck anytime recently?
I've been so busy, I haven't even had a chance to check my bank account, John. I hope so. I can double check with management.
I don't know. You might. I don't know. I haven't heard anything. I'll bet you're still employed by WGN.
All right. Good. Good. That's a relief because I really, really, really love my job.
In the event that you are, why don't you tell us a little bit then about this team? I hear smart people say that optimistically we're a 500 club. Is that what you think?
Probably a little less than that. I'm thinking in the 70 range, 70 to 75 wins. They're definitely better than they were last year. It's an ascending team, and I think for considering how many teams are rebuilding in Major League Baseball, I would say in terms of rebuilding franchises, they're the envy of baseball because they have an absolutely stacked farm system with just player after player after player that gets you excited. So I'll give you a couple guys that are already on the Major League roster, John, that I think you should keep an eye on this year, and that's Yoán Moncada. He's a second baseman.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Say that again.
Yoán, Y-O-A-N.
Yoán.
Moncada, M-O-N-C-A-D-A.
Uh-huh. Where's he
all
from?
Right, he's from Cuba. He was brought over in the Chris Sale trade that really sparked the whole rebuild for the Sox. You get Yoán Moncada. He was the top-ranked prospect in all of baseball for the past couple of years. He's finally on the Major League roster, and this is going to be his first full season, so I can't wait to see what he can do. And then filling out the middle of the infield is Tim Anderson, the shortstop. He's entering his second full season with the White Sox. Had a rough year last year. One of his best friends, his best friend that he considered a brother, was actually a horrible story, shot and killed in a parking lot in their hometown of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So had a rough going last year, but he's like a different guy from what I've seen from last year. He's just laughing, he's joking, he's talking more. He too was a highly touted prospect the White Sox drafted. So those two guys on the Major League roster, I'm really excited to see this year.
Who are the veterans that are going to need to step up if we're going to have a good season?
Well, the first baseman, Jose Abreu, this is going to be his fifth year with the team, and he just continues to produce. He's 31, but he's coming off another 30 homer, 100 RBI season. On the pitching side of things, James Shields is 36. He's by far the most seasoned veteran on the pitching staff. He's kind of the guy that'll be your, I don't know if he necessarily is ace type stuff anymore, but he's a veteran that can, he'll be there. He'll eat up a ton of innings. But those are the two, I guess, veterans that have been around the longest.
So what worries you then? Is it the pitching or is it the hitting? Where's the weak link in this club right now?
Well, it's probably just the fact that all their players are so young. So I can't really even point to an area and say, well, they're not good here, they're not good there. It's just that they're young. You know, everybody's in their mid to low 20s. You just don't have a lot of veterans. So it's a lot of guys that are still learning the ropes and still learning how to be major leaguers and still developing their game. So that's what I think White Sox fans are excited about. Okay, maybe they're not going to win a ton of games, but they still have the structure. They still have the foundation of these young guys that you're going to see progress on the field. And I will say this. Sox fans like to say Ricky's boys don't quit. Rick Renteria is the manager. You heard that a lot last year. And there's a reason people say that. I mean, these guys are young and they're hungry. They're trying to show everyone that they belong. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot of young players in the Sox system that are all competing for a job. So, yeah, I think they're going to be a problem for a lot of teams in baseball because they're not going away. They're going to be a tough team to get out.
Could you compare them to a team that has had a successful rebuild, like the Twins or the Cubs are two I'm familiar with, and they've both done a little bit of rebuilding, and Lord knows they're better now than they were 5 years ago something like that. I mean, who would you say we are modeling this after?
Well, I think they're doing it their way. I will say the obvious comparisons are to the Cubs. Remember when Theo Epstein got to town, he tore it down, and he's started from scratch, and he got all these young guys, and it all paid off in about 5 years, which was their plan. I will say that the Sox is pretty similar to that. I will say the Sox, probably their timeline is not as long as the Cubs was, because the Sox had a lot of valuable assets. You had guys like Chris Sale and Adam Eaton and Jose Quintana. So I think their timeline of when their competitive window is probably going to come quicker than it did for the Cubs, because the Sox over the past 14 months have been able to acquire an incredible amount of talent. What Rick Hahn, the general manager, has done is pretty wild. So I think it's pretty similar to the Cubs, although I think that competitive window is going to come quicker than it did for the Cubs.
Who's that guy that throws at 100 miles an hour for the Sox now?
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to just give you a couple names that aren't on the big league roster, but they will be eventually as long as they stay healthy. That's Michael Kopech. He was actually brought over with Moncada in the Chris Sale trade. So he's already kind of turning into a star in baseball, not just locally, but really around baseball, because one, he's dating a reality star's daughter, and he's been on a reality show, so he's got some fame there. But he also had a video go viral where he threw a ball 110 miles per hour. Now, keep in mind, it was on a crow hop, but still, I mean, it's pretty crazy. He's also been clocked at 105 miles per hour off the mound. He's a guy you'll probably see sometime in July-ish, I'm thinking. So that's Michael Kopech. And then the other guy you're going to want to see is Eloy Jimenez. He's an outfielder. He was part of the Cubs system, but the Cubs traded him to the Sox so they could get Jose Quintana. He is a large man, and he can hit the baseball a long way. So those are two guys not in the majors yet, but they will be soon.
What will you be having for lunch?
I don't know. I think it's officially time to kick off hot dog season, considering baseball starting. So, you know, this complex is shared by the Dodgers and the Sox. So that's who's playing today. So it's kind of a home game for both. But I'm thinking Dodger dogs, I don't know what it is about them. They're not even good, but I can't stop eating them. When I was in L.A. For the postseason, I think I had like four during one game. So I don't know. I might get a Dodger dog, but they also have Polish sausage out here to cater to the Chicago crowd. So I might get a Polish as well.
What is the beer at Sox Park?
What's the beer, you said?
Yeah, the beer. What brand? What label? What brewer?
Well, Kevin is there in a professional capacity to report on the ball game.
I'm trying to prepare for this new season for us.
Well, if you're talking about 35th and Shields back in Chicago,
yes.
I think their main partnership with a specific beer is Negro Modelo, but they have everything there. Every ballpark now has like, you know, 20 options for beers. So you can get pretty much anything you want. They got craft beer. They got all kinds of stuff. I'll take you on a tour when I get back.
I really would like to do that. And I got to tell
you around. Yeah.
And I'll drink your artsy fartsy craft beers. You know, I'm an IPA guy. But at the end of the day, if I'm having a Brat or a Polish or just a good old Chicago dog and a Pabst. I had a Pabst the other day, and I went, "Hello, old friend. That was nice. It was really pleasant."
Yeah. I will. I normally go with a Miller Lite and a Polish sausage with extra onions. It's like milk and cookies to me. Miller Lite and Polish sausage, just a wonderful combination.
You guys have really devolved here.
I think a lot of people are going, get to the beer part, get to the beer part.
I'm thinking of Brayu and all of this stuff, and now you guys are dipping your Polish sausages.
Yes. All right. Kevin Powell, who may or may not still work at WGN Radio, is in Arizona. He's doing a great job out there. You going to check in with Ro every now and then as well?
Yeah, I'll be on right after when Farmio and DJ are done. I'll be right in the booth and connect with Ro and the gang. And, I'll be on at WGNRadio.com, all kinds of spring training coverage there as well.
Yeah, good to hear you, Kevin. You're doing a nice job. Stay well, and we'll visit with you when you get back.
Thanks, John. See you guys soon.
It's Kevin Powell. He works with Rokon out there. I'm kind of anxious to go to the ballpark. I didn't go to Sox Park last year, so I'm due. I think I'm going to be going a lot this year. Our first White Sox broadcast.
We have to get all the tailgate gear, you know? Like, that's a tailgate ballpark.
So that's a grill.
We need a
sausages, a pickup truck. We got to get a pickup truck.
A tent.
Yeah.
A grill.
A thing of beer. Maybe one of those pony kegs or one of those.
And maybe just put WGN on all of it.
Hey, this sounds like another fun thing we could do with our listeners.
Oh, yeah.
I took something. That's a good idea. Right? Like, we'll get a little tent on maybe a Saturday game or something. Join us for the tailgate before some game. I don't know. It could be any game. Could be a big game. I don't know.
I love tailgate parties.
Yeah. I haven't been to many, but I went to a, I went to a Minnesota Vikings tailgate. I guess last season.
That sounds cold.
It was. It was like 42 below zero.
Oh, my God.
And guys are out there. But it was also kind of fun for that, you know? So you just kind of hung in there and you drank cold beverages in the ice cold air. But you also had like hot steak sandwiches and stuff. So, Violette, I'm putting you in charge of that.
Yes. I love planning parties.
You planned the show tailgate party. And, you know, we could do it right up to maybe an afternoon broadcast or something like that. That would be fun. Last night, David Hochberg and I and a handful of listeners partied in the suite at the Bulls game. And we're thinking of other fun things that we can do with you. Pop-up things, fun things that won't require you any more than to just be there. What we were talking about, well, I've got a little list.
We had
here.
Your dancing class.
My dancing class.
You said paint class.
Paint class.
Ice fishing.
That's Steve's class.
Steve, wait a second. You ice fish?
No, he doesn't want to. That's him just not playing nice. He's not going to go ice fishing.
We have time to talk, get to know each other, kind of nibble.
What, Elif?
Well, it's cold outside still, the Art Institute.
So we'll all meet and kind of do a group tour at the Art Institute.
Yeah.
I'm open to suggestions. I'm not saying...
They have great coffee there, too.
One of our listeners called in and said, how about we all go curling, do a curling thing?
Steve, throw another suggestion, a viable suggestion out
there. Yeah, actually, be serious now, Steve.
Come on.
I love curling.
What would be a thing that you do?
No, I would love to do the curling thing.
I would, too.
You're too tall for curling.
You kind of are.
If I can interrupt here for a moment. Yeah. So ABC and others are reporting now that Rick Gates has pleaded guilty. So Gates was the longtime aide of Paul Manafort and then stayed on even after Manafort left to be an advisor to the Trump campaign. And,
he was the deputy director of the Trump campaign Manafort.
Right, but then after even Manafort was forced out, Gates still was around even until after Inauguration Day.
So he was part of the administration briefly.
Briefly. If not part of the administration, part of the apparatus. I think he was running an outside organization.
Yeah.
So he has just pleaded guilty in federal court in Washington.
Okay, I have to pause here, Steve, but do you know what the charges are or how many counts?
Well, they added he was charged in the first round with Manafort, and then subsequently, even yesterday, I believe there were more charges announced. They just filed two more today, as I understand it, John. So he's probably pleaded to those as part of the plea. You know, we'll enter these charges, you plead to these, and then drop the others.
The president likes to say there's no collusion, and I don't know that there is. But I also don't see the reason to speed up an investigation. If it continues to churn out things like this, then isn't that fruitful? Shouldn't we do it?
Well, yeah, I guess so. But I just want to challenge you on one thing, and I don't want to make personally too much of a deal of it. You had the Trump campaign officials agree to a meeting with Russian agents who said they had dirt on Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Okay, so then how can you say there's no evidence of collusion?
Well, there was no evidence that they had any dirt. They went there to see if there was. Then, if we're talking about the same meeting.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, to me, that's like if I say, if I wants you to come over and have a hamburger, then I could say there's no evidence he ever came to his house for dinner. Well, he did. I don't know what you ate, but you came over.
So if the crime were to have hamburgers with Steve and I went there and Steve didn't have any, I was still complicit in trying to get some hamburgers with Steve.
I mean, at the very least, they agreed to set up a meeting to collude. So that is working together at a... Right? So just whenever I hear phrases, there's no evidence of collusion, I always think that meeting probably is. We don't know what came of it. We don't know if it was successful, but gosh, that seems like that's what that was.
I'm following your line of logic, but you don't get to be the decider on this, right?
No. I mean,
obviously, if Mueller agrees with you.
I don't want to be the decider.
Yeah, you do not. Getting some pretty good suggestions for our next adventure. Hey, John, let's go go-karting. Oh my God, would I do that? We all go go-karting someplace? Wouldn't you want to go go-karting? Doesn't that sound like fun?
Is that kind of like bumper cars? Do we hit each other?
Yeah. No. Go-karting, I guess you could, but you just race around a track in one of those
little carts.
John Beach Volleyball at Montrose. I've always wanted to do that. John, let's take an RV. I'm not sure what we're going to do with it. We've got curling. Somebody said, let's take that speedboat that they run up and down the lake.
The water taxi?
Speed dog. No, the speed dog. Brom.
What about a bike tour?
I could do that too. Maybe a little, you know, lower key, but maybe that's not a bad idea. I love the idea of a tailgate party before a Sox
game.
Tailgate party. I think that's fun. Hey, John, how about a house tour? Scooter says, let's do a golf thing. There are unlimited possibilities. We had such a fun time last night at the Bulls game. David Hochberg and a handful of you and me. So we'll dream up something bigger and a little bit better in the very near future. This will be fun. White Sox baseball will next.